Hello, welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how are you doing this week?
Doing all right. I'm bundled up right now because I'm getting ready to go golf after this, and the high is going to be 42. Oof. And so the course called me and said, yeah, like the tee times are getting delayed because there's still frost. So I'm kind of questioning my decision-making process right now. But other than that, things are looking good. How about you?
Yeah, man. So like you guys are hardcore golfers. Like down near freezing is like just amazing. I mean, growing up in Florida, it's like, oh my gosh, it's 60 degrees. Like we just didn't go out. So like
this won't necessarily be fun. The course closes on Sunday. It's sunny out. My okay. buddies are coming up. So I'm like, all right, like I'll try to make it work. But yeah. We'll see.
Nice. Yeah, man. Everything is good here. You know, from a business perspective, we had a really strong month last month, and particularly with sales. The first part of this month that we're recording this, just the middle of November, like the beginning of the month was not great, but some stuff is coming in now. So like, it's just kind of surreal because like, I always just hated sales managers who are like, what are you going to close this month? Where's this deal? How's this looking? And now like I'm that guy.
Cause that's
I'm
like, you. Yeah.
Where's this? How's that? Do you need anything for this? What's the deal? What's the status? And I'm hopefully not being a jerk about it, but like I do being kind of on the other side now do understand that like things like forecasting and pipeline and things like that are really important. So I think this gets into a little bit of what we'll talk about kind of in the main segment today, but yeah, that's kind of where I am these days.
Yeah. For us, we've been doing some hiring, but there's other positions we want to fill. I think we talked a bit about it before. Chief of staff or just project managers, I think kind of the direction I'm going where it's like similar responsibilities. They're less, probably with less autonomy, but right now it's like, I'm okay being the decider, but I need someone to manage and keep the trains running on time, and it could grow into another role. But like, that's just a big hire and a difficult one. So I think we're comfortable hiring for support, front end, and an EA. But for beyond that, got to see how things shake out revenue wise, because it's just hard to predict. Like we had it, this month is turning out to be a really good month. I think we're up like 16% so far this month. And I wasn't expecting that a couple months into the seasons. And it's just seeing if we can plateau here for December, January, then it gives us some more flexibility. But yeah, it's just been thinking a lot about the team, who we need to get on board, what roles and all of that.
How is the EA search going? Like, did you go with great assistance and like, how is all that looking?
I have made no progress. I mean, that's okay. All on me. Because one of the big things that they do is like they have some, it's not a long thing, but it's probably a day's worth of training just to make sure that you're ready for delegating and kind of setting your expectations and just helping you build systems to actually be successful in working with an EA. And I just haven't gotten to that, but I'm trying to just get through the front end hire and then support. And then next week we'll set aside the time to do that stuff. But it's one of those moments where you see the light at the end of the tunnel a bit, at least, but it doesn't make it easier to get there because you're still just chugging along with everything coming at you.
Yeah. Those are tricky hires, I suppose. I mean, I had a failed attempt at a virtual assistant in the past, but like an EA and even a project manager, I think is tough because like the promise is this is going to offload so much kind of work and responsibility like on a day-to-day basis from you. But like you got to put in the reps ahead of time to set that position and yourself and how you report and they report to you, all of that. So that person can be successful. So like totally commendable to go down that path. But I can imagine, as opposed to like hiring a developer who kind of goes in and they have the code and they can write features and stuff like that. Like there's a fair amount of investment you're going to need to make up front with those for it to pay off later to free you up and make life more reasonable. So interesting. Just an observation. Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. And I mean, I think what will help is, yes, that balance between working in the business and on the business. And frankly, like I've been working more on the business, but that doesn't mean my other responsibilities have been miraculously getting taken care of by someone else. It's like the admin stuff takes a while. And then usually I'll just suck it up one day and just like, that's all I'm going to do. I just try to get caught up on that stuff. But then like marketing, we don't make a ton of progress there. Jordan is able to keep pushing forward on YouTube content, which has been a great channel for growth. And we have other things in motion, but it's like, yeah, I'm not making new progress there because I'm just kind of taking a deliberate choice to just work on these other things, build out these other systems. But yeah, it's for me, it's sort of a pendulum that's swinging. And like right now it's more to the side of working. Yeah. Just on building out the team.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And I think that that is kind of like the topic I wanted to talk through today is like kind of found myself asking myself, I've been asking myself, like, am I building a company, right? It's kind of like the question that I ask and am critical as I look at what I do on a day-to-day basis. I've talked to, you know, friends and colleagues that have like CEO coaches and stuff. And like, I think I would be really scared to have a CEO coach right now because they would ask what I do with my time and I would tell them and they would say, are you freaking kidding me? Like that's not good or that's not effective use of your time. And I can't believe you haven't thought of this and all these kinds of things. And I don't know what like the right answer or where the right place I should be getting with this, but I think that it's something we talked about when we first started this podcast is like, we want to build like a real scalable business that's not entirely dependent on us. Like I would like my input and involvement to be additive, you know, to the team and to the things that are going on in the business, but not like dependent on me. And yeah, kind of like taking a bit of a step back recently to realize that like I'm not there at least. And like maybe haven't made a lot of progress there recently.
What makes you say that? Like what are the things that you're spending your time on that don't fit that mold?
I mean, one, I'm just working a lot, you know, and like I like working, but kind of feel like I need to be working a lot.
When you say you're working, like what are the things that you're doing?
In a good perspective, like having a lot of conversations with different members of the team, right? So like we have like a marketing call and a sales call and a support and a dev call and a team call. So like every day has a meeting basically, and that's fine. That's an hour. But then like in between then, the things that I think are good are like kind of refining how we do like OKRs and reporting on those and tracking and people like individual contributor level kind of tracking towards OKRs. And like working with the leaders of each group, like all that stuff I think is good. The things that I think are bad are I'm still more involved in like the product and development process than I would like to be. Still quite involved in like marketing and maybe marketing coordination, which I don't know is like entirely wrong because like it's the thing I'm best at probably.
When you say marketing coordination, because to me, the highest value part of the marketing is going to be the strategy. The coordination is sort of that project management component where I wouldn't say maybe you're really good at that, but I don't feel like that's the highest value use of your time. Or are we using the word differently?
The definitions are right. And I guess the pushback I would have to that is like we're on marketing where Matt, who kind of has like half of his life in success and half in marketing, really. Sam, who's like full-time growth and like he's our head kind of marketing person. And then me. And like, we're just doing a lot, you know, like we're doing a lot of like integration partnerships and webinars and email campaigns and Black Friday and guest posting and all this kind of stuff. And like, it's just more than Sam can handle by himself. And so like, I am kind of raising my hand and say like something I'm good at and that I can do because I can't write code and I can't design, you know, and like, and I don't think support, like frontline support is a high value thing for me to do. So like, if I can add my time back to the company in the form of marketing, then like that's maybe effective.
Yeah. And I guess where I would push back and what I've done probably to a fault on our side, but are all of those tasks worth doing?
Yeah.
Because like that's the thing is like what I think the company building, the team building, that stuff is just very obviously high value. And I am able to recognize that. And it still causes me a lot of stress when there are things on the marketing side that I know will, with a high degree of certainty, like will have a real return and they're just not getting done. But I guess I lean towards the side of keep focused on building the company and just let the less important marketing things fall aside. And it's not as though like I'm sitting here happy with that. Like it causes me a ton of stress where I'm just like, it's been months and I still haven't done this. And like that's really part of it where I get the most, I feel the most mental friction. But like it's a choice. And on some level, you're saying that these marketing projects are higher value than the other work you could be doing on company building. And I would just question if like there's a lot of things you mentioned, and just mathematically, I would assume they're not all that important.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I guess I fall into the trap of like short term, what I hope are wins, you know, with marketing initiatives and long term company building. And I think it is right in some way to have a balance between those two. You know, like I don't know that like all of my time towards company building is going to help the company grow or be successful. Whereas like if I spend 30% of my time doing marketing stuff, like hopefully that, you know, maybe not all of it will pay off, but like hopefully some of it will. And that'll like have a difference to the top line. So I guess that's how I couch that a little bit.
Yeah. And I guess I would just feel as though you've got, because it's not just you on the marketing. And so, yeah, I think there's always going to be trade-offs. And that's ultimately what we're like feeling, is you feel like you should be doing more on the company building side, not necessarily 100% that, whereas I feel like I should probably be doing more on the individual contributor stuff on marketing. And there's always going to be a trade-off, even at real scale. You're just never going to be able to do everything you want to, but it's just figuring out, okay, are we able to move forward on the most important things? Okay, keep doing it. And like, I think if you're really trying to ramp up growth, focusing more effort on growth makes sense, but it's just making sure you're not going through the motions and that these things are actually having an impact. Because with Sam and with Matt, even though Matt's not full-time on it, like, you have a decent amount of bandwidth to keep moving forward on marketing stuff without you touching it, especially if you're working with agencies and other things as well. And for us, I'm almost just using it as, I think if we had more resources to put towards marketing, there would be faster growth, but it's like, we're still growing. And so I'm just sort of saying like, okay, like I'm putting my blinders up and it's like, all right, like I think I'll have a freak out moment if and when we do plateau and shift things back to that side of it. But right now that's not happening. And so it gives me at least some permission to just kind of turn a blind eye to it. But I don't know. I do still feel that friction.
One of the other things that, like in talking to kind of other colleagues in a similar space that I honestly like don't have an answer to and would love your stance on it, is like when it comes to like company building or like these high value working on the business versus working in the business. Like, I hate to say, I don't know what that means. Cause I do, but like, I kind of get lost with like, what are the things that I should be doing to work on the business versus work in the business? I would imagine that a lot of people listening have the same question and struggle with the same thing.
That's probably like a good thing to break down and just question our own assumptions around, because yeah, it is sort of jargony and buzzwordy, where it doesn't always mean, it's like kind of when people talk about culture. I don't know that I could define culture much, but now that I feel like our teams have grown, I just feel like I have a better intuitive grasp of it, even if I couldn't define it as much. But yeah, I think when I talk about like working on the business, a lot of it for me is building out a team that can day-to-day execute without me, a team and the processes to support it. And right now, I feel like we have the team for the most part. There's still a few gaps that we're filling. And so it's working more on the process, because that's where I think we're still running into issues. And so it's more just thinking about less of the doing things and more of the how do we do things and who is doing those things. And so like one of the things we're working on now is the way I've always approached it. And what's changed my opinion on hiring just dramatically is just really the value of getting really good people on the team, because it can just let them run with things and it might not be perfect, but you trust them, you know, they're doing a good job. And so for like a support, that was really the approach. It's like we had Ross originally, then we brought on Chris and then Jordan, and they were all part-time, and then Jordan was full-time and primarily on content, but was helping out on support. And it was like, all right, like we're getting tons of emails from people saying how good our support is. I'm just going to not think about this right now. And so that was where I was like, I got the people in there. There's other places that need people. Let me focus on like filling those gaps because this is running well enough. But now it's like, okay, we're hiring a full-time support person. Chris has already went to full-time as well. We should probably be thinking more about how we're doing this because I think we could reply faster. I think we could be more helpful when we reply. And so now I'm sort of taking that step back and working on what the actual support process looks like. And I don't want to micromanage it, but it's still, I think, just being more deliberate about it. So I jump to like, it's first, like, where are we feeling the most pain? Get someone smart, hardworking, self-sufficient in there to just make it so that I don't have to think about it. And then once those fires are, or at least those leaks are plugged, it's going back in and saying, how do we like really take advantage of this? And so, yeah, with Jordan on content, it was like he and I, when he first came on board, spent a lot of time figuring out our office hours strategy and what we were doing there. And then I just let him run with it. And then I went to something else. And now it's like, okay, he's got that process down. We've got a little bit more bandwidth. Let's figure out how we can double down on that and get better results. And now I'm doing that with support. And so that's not like it's not like a definition of working on the business, but I guess it's sort of examples of what I feel like that is, where again, it's figuring out who do we need to do this? What should they be doing? How are they doing it? And then not actually like working in the business would be me taking a sales call. Even like it's high value stuff, me working with new partners, like that's in the business. It's not building a machine. It's not building something that can run independently, but yeah, it's still high value. That's kind of how I draw the line.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, as we say that, like there are quite a few things I'm doing now that are working on the business. You know, like we kind of promoted our designer, Francois, to head of product recently. That's a really big one because then it goes from me kind of really what I'm talking about, like managing the product and development process and team, to, you know, having a call once a month with him and saying, I want to build this and this. And he just takes and runs with it from there. Like that's the goal, right? And we're, you know, 50% of the way there maybe.
No, that's like a perfect example of it. And yeah. I think you're saying, yeah, you're still feeling you're spending too much time on that stuff, but because you worked on the business, you have a path to get out of that.
Yeah.
And I mean, OKRs, those are other things that you mentioned. It's like figuring out, all right, like how do we keep the team aligned? How do we make sure we're doing the right things? And I feel like that's just why I push back a bit on the marketing stuff, because like it's one thing with sales where it's a newer process and you're building out the process, but it feels like a lot of the marketing things are closer to executing playbooks. And that, it's like figuring out the playbook is high value. And I think there's a certain point of scale, which we're not at, where you would like to have someone else on your team who can build playbooks. But for now, that's us and that's fine. But like, I don't think we should really be executing many, if any, of those playbooks. And that's just where I would like say on the marketing stuff, it's like, okay, like how confident are you this is driving an ROI? If it is, can we just find a freelancer to do it? Can we find an agency? Can we hire someone to do it? But like just kind of keeping the machine running, like being more of a, not a cog, it's not as bad connotations, but just being like a part of the process, I think is not where you're adding the most value, whether it's working in or on the business.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really important. I mean, I think in terms of like our sales process and like the sales guys, I mean, they're 3 months on at this point, which is cool. Like this week, they're 3 months and they're closing like a good amount of business, but it is the kind of dynamic where like they can always use more good leads, you know? And so like to me, and maybe just justifying it, but like more marketing not only drives more like self-service signups for conventional hosting, but like hopefully drives more high quality leads for sales. And so I guess in a way, I do feel like I'm, even though I'm like doing some individual contributor stuff, it is to like drive sales, which is like really high value stuff. You know, like I'm glad we have the sales guys in place to take those calls and close the deals and all that kind of stuff.
I think the way I would think about it is like you can buy leads. You can, whether it's pay-per-click or it's through an SDR agency where you pay per appointment, like you can pay money to get those results. And you are paying right now with your time. And I would just be curious to say, okay, like I'm spending this much time on these efforts. How many leads is it driving? And what is that cost per lead compared to like, is that profitable? Like that's the big thing is you do have bandwidth and you can tackle these things, but I would try to just measure it at least loosely and make sure that, okay, look, like, yeah, PPC is expensive or volume's low or whatever it is, but my time's worth a lot too. And if I'm spending on these things that have, frankly, like, if you even have questions about whether it's driving returns, it's not worth the time. Like, because your time in as a leader is super high value. And so for it to make sense to be doing individual contributor work, it should just be obvious. Like that's the thing is like setting up a sales team and like building up that stuff. It's like training them, that kind of stuff. Like, yes, that it's clear getting people independently up to sell is going to be worth the time. But for other things, it's just more questionable in my head. And I think if it's questionable, it's probably not something you should be doing.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, it's hard when you want to accelerate growth and can't quite figure out that thing to do it. And so it's like, that's like the pain that you're feeling and you're trying to figure out what that is. I don't think focusing your efforts in that area is bad. I think that does make sense. It's just, yeah, I don't know. Because that's the thing. It's like, I think that's the problem is I think you're focused on the right area, but it's just figuring out what are the efforts that are worth it to do. Is it finding someone else who can lead that? Is it helping the people that are already in place to do things? But I just think more things, like more marketing is probably not the answer.
Right. And a lot of it is really different marketing, right? Like different kinds of content, different approaches to different types of audiences and stuff like that. And I think that's the stuff where like, you can't hire an agency to figure that stuff out for you. It's funny how like on this show, like we kind of go back and forth in like places that we're working on the business. Like you're hiring a bunch right now. We hired a bunch through the summer and stuff. And I don't plan on us hiring, like maybe we'll hire a developer around the end of the year. That takes so much time, right? And I think that like one thing that amazes me looking back from like the middle of the year for us and like other companies is like you can only hire as fast as you can make that person like an effective contributor to the team, right? Because otherwise you just have a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing. I look at, you know, companies like Stripe that are going to hire 1,000 developers a year. And like, it's not just finding 1,000 developers. It's like onboarding and training and stuff and putting them into a process and having a really good process where like, I mean, we just, even if we wanted to, we can't hire that. I mean, we can't hire that fast because we don't have that much money. But like, I mean, that like, I'm saying that like, I've realized that for a lot of times, like money is not the limiting factor. It's just like time to effectiveness. So that's been interesting to see.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think it's also knowing that it's not just time to effectiveness for that hire, but it's going to lower the effectiveness of the rest of the team that's working with them because they're going to have to spend more time on it. And so it's a trade-off. But like, that's just where I feel I am right now is in that spot of trying to delay gratification, of trying to just like suck it up, pay down some tech debt, add some complexity to the organization, because I know it's going to take a lot of my focus and a lot of the rest of the team's focus, but once we get out the other side, we'll be better. And it's easy to put those decisions off for a while. That's where our seasonality is nice, because it's like, okay, we're entering the winter. It's still busy for sure, but it's like nothing new is coming up. And that's where our headaches come from, is when new things come up or there's like a massive influx of people at the start of the season, things like that. It's like we're at a steady state right now. time to take the pedal off the gas, work on some infrastructure things, slow down on marketing by spending my time on hiring. But I feel like just looking back on where we were at, especially when I joined 3 years ago, but then like even after the first year, year and a half even, when you get the right people in place and things are starting to work, that's when I'm just like, okay, like this is worth it. Because even though I still get stressed about not doing as much in the business, when there are things that I think are worth doing, the rest of the company is still running very well. And like they're making progress. And that's what I feel like I've really been working towards. And as a team, we've done a great job of is just getting it so that things are moving forward without me. And I think I add a good amount of value to things. And I think strategically, I help set the right vision and keep us aligned on that. But like day to day, we've got the people in place that are delivering. And that to me is like, all right, this has been worth it. I know I could be doing more marketing. That's okay. Like, let's get these last hires in. And then that's probably going to be like the next pain point for us is figuring out what to do on the marketing side.
Yeah, it is like this pendulum that swings. It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, as you're saying that, I'm thinking back of almost all the hires we made this year. All the hires we made this year have put us to where, like, I just don't think about this one whole part of the business. And it's just amazing. Like, it just... Yeah, I get a question every now and then of, hey, what about this or that? Like super edge case. And that's cool. Like I think that's how it should be, you know? And they could figure it out on their own if they really needed to, if I just wasn't here. So
right. And that's what I've also been working on with Jordan is as we were like ramping up, he'd write outlines, I'd give feedback, he would make some edits, then he'd go record it after I checked it out. And now I'm like, yeah, I still want to like look at it. There's a very good chance. So like I'm just not gonna be able to get to it. And so share things with me, but don't let me be a blocker.
Right.
Yeah, I trust you.
Default. And to so,
yeah, exactly. So like if you're doing this on Thursday, you haven't heard from me, just go for it. Like you don't need to, don't let me block you. And that's just been such a great feeling of having people in place where I don't feel the need to really micromanage or do much there. And that's been awesome. And so there's still other places that I need to get there on. First is going to be support, and then it will be marketing. And I know Ben and Matt are working on similar things on the back end, on the front end, just getting clearer on our processes. But it's why you can move so quick when it's just a couple people. It's because you don't have to worry about the stuff. You can just, you both, basically your brains are one. You can just sit down and ship, and then you add complexity. But as you start hiring, but I think you get better results, and it's actually like a business rather than a job, which is really what we're working towards. But yeah, it's a journey though, for sure. Even as we've been talking, it was like I try to keep Slack and everything closed during these calls, but it was like just popped it up just to see. And it's like we just hired Eric, who joined our modeling team, and he's already figuring things out. It's like he's not shipping code directly to our core simulator, but he's able to analyze the data. And it's really is the hack that we have of just being able to hire our customers or people who are already deep into the space, because that time to effectiveness gets cut down dramatically. It's really just been an awesome feeling of when you know you got the right person and the right people on board. And I see why now as companies scale, especially VC-backed ones who need serious scale, that it's like, yeah, their job, the founder's job, the CEO's job is recruiting almost more than anything else. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a huge lever. Yeah, it's a huge lever to get that person in that can really be a game changer and take significant chunks of responsibility. Yeah.
Right. And then when you compare the ROI of that to almost any single marketing effort, any single other initiative, it's just hard to compare the ROIs because it's just not going to be close. The getting the right people on board is going to be higher, but yeah, then there's still things you just got to do, and that's kind of the life of a founder.
Yep. Well, yeah, I know this is a bit of a esoteric episode, but you know, I think what we try to do here is, you know, talk about what's on our mind, and that's just something that I'm thinking about and trying to keep myself honest with, you know, because I know that my job is to be building a company. And sometimes like that means, I think, doing individual contributor stuff until we can identify exactly the person to put into this, you know, position to own it. But yeah, a lot of times it shouldn't be that. So trying to keep myself honest with that too.
Yeah. I mean, some things just have to get done. And sometimes, and a lot of times it's going to be you doing it, but it's just making sure you keep the big picture in mind.
Cool. So yeah, folks, you know, listening, if y'all have kind of questions, comments for Andy or I, we'd love to hear it. Shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com. As always, Andy, good to catch up.
Yeah, it was fun chatting. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.